Brother Orr. Amen. Well, amen. We also have this phone I forgot to mention during the, this is glasses up here, and if they're not yours, as preacher used to say, and if you take it, you stole them if they're not yours. And this phone was left in the pew somewhere near the back, they said. And so if it is your phone, if it goes off, we're going to baptize it during the service. But if it is yours and it is locked, so please come get it after the service. It'll be up here. Tonight we have the great blessing of hearing Brother Mullins preach. He's one of our sent missionaries. We're very proud of them being graduates of our college and being a part with us and know that they're doing a great work. We appreciate the Bible that they use in Spanish. And just thank God for their testimony and the keeping on. Brother Mullins, you come and preach to us, my brother.
Well, good evening. Good to be with you. Thank you for coming back tonight. Amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. We did get a little bit of rain today, but praise the Lord, it stopped. And I want to thank you again for your kindness and for your many prayers for Marta and I. It has been a difficult time. And we will be heading back to Chile this Thursday. Amen. We'll be with you out at camp Wednesday night. And then Thursday morning, we go to Orlando and fly out. It's kind of a long flight back down there. We have to go through Houston. And then from Houston down to Santiago, it's about 9.5 hours. So it's a pretty good flight. It's a few hours just to get to Houston, and then, you know, all the time in the airports, it just makes it just a long ordeal. We won't get there until Friday morning. But so pray for us. Pray for me as well. I had a rough week this week. Had a lot of problems with my blood pressure, like spiking up and coming down and spiking up again. And I was really, really feeling bad. Wednesday and Thursday, I had to go to the hospital, let them take some blood from me to see how I was doing. He said, yeah, you need to go get checked out. You've got a lot of problems. dehydrated, stressed out, blood pressure. And I preached Wednesday night in the Spanish church, and I was feeling so bad. Marta said, don't go, you need to rest. And doctor said, don't go, you need to rest. And I went anyway, and I was feeling so bad, and the room was spinning like this here while I was preaching. And if I was lost in the direction of the message, you can imagine how they felt, amen? And so it didn't really come out all that great, but I'm so thankful that they were merciful on me. They fed us afterwards, and a lot of food. I couldn't even stay for the food, to be honest with you. I was feeling that bad. So you know I was feeling bad if I didn't stay for the food. And so, but it's good to be here tonight. I do feel a lot better. I cut out the caffeine. I started drinking a whole lot of water, and I just asked God to help me. Amen. And so I feel a lot better tonight. Thank you for that. Thank you for your prayers. And the message I want to preach to you tonight, the Lord gave me this message about almost two weeks ago, and I was laid in bed about 11:30 at night. And if you don't know this, God speaks at nighttime. Amen. And so I was laid in bed about 11:30 at night, and I'd read these verses in the past day or two, and I was going over this stuff in my mind, trying to put something together. I knew there was a message there, trying to put something together, and I got kind of the introduction and the beginning history to it, and I said, boy, this is going really good, man. It's 11:30 at night. I'm laying there looking at the ceiling, amen? And the Lord gave me the first point, and then he gave me another point, and I said, bless God, I got to write this down. I'll forget about it by morning, amen? But Marta's trying to sleep, and I said, well, it's got to be done. So I sat up in bed. And I heard a voice say to me, where are you going? I said, baby, I've got this. I've got this thought in my mind, and I've got to write it down real fast because I'll forget it by the morning. I said, it won't take just a minute. She said, Mike, it's 11:30 at night. I said, but the Lord is speaking. She said, can he speak in the morning? So I go over there to the office, and I write down those thoughts real fast. And I come back. I tried to be as quiet as I could. Come back, slip back in the bed there. I still got that message on my mind. Amen. And bless God, a few minutes went by, and he gave me another point. I said, I really need to write this down. But she's probably going to get upset. And I sat up in bed, and I heard that voice again. She said, I'm going to sleep in the other room. But I'm telling you, the Lord, he speaks at nighttime. He really does. Amen. You read over there in the book of Samuel, when God spoke to him, he said, when he laid down to sleep, amen, the Lord began to speak. Amen. Even in the book of Job, it says something about it, about the Lord speaking at nighttime. Speaks to me at nighttime. Amen. And so I want to deal with a thought here. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. I'm going to read a few verses out of this chapter. I love the Gospel of John. What a beautiful book. Great teaching. I love reading about Jesus. Amen. Amen. John chapter 12. And we're going to pick it up in the very first verse. Not going to really talk much tonight about us or about the work in Chile that is doing just tremendously good. I want to save all my time for the preaching. John chapter 12 and verse 1. Everybody's there?
Amen.
Amen. All righty. And the Bible says this: Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odors of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and he bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. The poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. And this is the verse. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. I want to speak to you tonight on this thought right here, by reason of him. Amen? Let's pray. Amen. God in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be here in your house tonight, for these dear folks. We thank you for their kindness. We thank you, Lord God, for their love and their heart for missions. And we thank you, Lord God, for your precious word. And I ask, God, that you would fill my heart, my mind, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Empty me of self. Help me, God, to be a blessing, Lord God, to your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you think about the setting of this context, you've got the Lord Jesus, and this is after the resurrection of Lazarus, as it were, in chapter 11. It says that Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came into Bethany. He came to the home of Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And we're talking about Lazarus that was dead, whom he raised from the dead. It was a very dangerous time, really, for Jesus to be coming back into the area of Judea. All of the religious leaders in Jerusalem were looking for him. They wanted to put him to death, but he came anyway. And the Bible says it was 6 days before Passover. You and I understand that Passover was really a one-day event that happened hundreds and hundreds of years ago back in Egypt, when the Lord's angel would pass over the Hebrew people in death and judgment. And Jews, they celebrate Passover really for a whole week. And even today, it's celebrated for some 8 days long. But really, it's just that one night down in Egypt that Moses, the man of God, whom God brought from the other side of the desert back into Egypt, to be the deliverer of the Hebrew people. And you know the story, how God told Moses to go to Pharaoh, and he was going to announce all these judgments upon the Egyptian people because of their hard heart and their unwillingness to let the Hebrew people go. And he didn't want to let go of all that free labor, that slave labor. And so God brings the 10 plagues upon the nation. It's that last plague, the plague of death, which is so remembered in the Passover. It's the Hebrew people, they had firstborn males also. They didn't want their children to die. And Moses said, you know what? You're the people of God, and God has a plan. that death and judgment would pass your home over, that no death and judgment would come to you if you apply the blood. And you know the story of how they had to apply the blood of the Lamb to the doorpost of their homes. And that very night, when the Lord's angel, as it were, and many times they called him the death angel, but when the Lord's angel passed through the land of Egypt, he would see that blood, he'd pass that home over. No death or judgment would come there. And so the Passover, the feast of the Passover, came from that thought right there, how the Hebrew people were passed over in death and in judgment. Now the Passover was a very important feast among the Jewish people, probably the most important. And it was mandatory for all the Jewish males to come to Passover. And of course, Jesus himself did not want to miss Passover. Even all the religious leaders just assumed that he would be there. You read in chapter 11 in verse 55, it says this, "And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, 'What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?'" You see, they knew that Jesus was coming to the feast. As a matter of fact, it would have been very, very difficult for Jesus to make it into Passover without everybody knowing about it. Because in and around the time of Passover, Judea was full of people. All of the roads, all of the pathways, they were all full of people coming into Jerusalem, coming into Bethany, coming into Bethlehem, all to partake and be a part of that week-long celebration of Passover. And so in the setting of the context, that's what we have. We have Jesus that has come into Bethany. Now, Bethany, the Bible tells us, is 15 furlongs outside of Jerusalem. That's less than 2 miles. You can walk it in 40 minutes. So Bethany is just a little suburb town, as it were, right outside of Jerusalem. So when Jesus comes back into Judea, instead of going right into Jerusalem, he goes to Bethany, and he goes to the family or to the home of Lazarus and his two sisters. The Bible says that Martha had prepared, and probably with the help of her sister and others, had prepared a, what's the word? Supper. Amen? That's a good southern word for you. Supper time. Amen? It's not dinner. I mean, it's not lunch. I mean, it's supper. Amen? And they had prepared him a supper, the Bible says. And they're sitting around the table. So it's Jesus. It's Lazarus. It's all of the disciples that are with Jesus. Can you imagine the stories of what they must have been talking about? Jesus himself knew that this was his last week on earth before he would go to the cross, before he would be crucified. Lazarus had just spent 4 days in the grave, amen, in chapter 11, and Jesus rose him back to life. Can you imagine what the disciples must have been talking about around that dinner table that evening? The questions they must have been asking Lazarus, and what was it like, and where did you go, and how did it feel? And I kind of personally believed, we know that Jesus had not led captivity captive at that point, so Abraham's bosom was still there, right? And if Lazarus was dead for 4 days, where did he go? He must have went down to Abraham's bosom, right? He must have been down there with Samuel and all the other prophets of old and talking with them and fellowshipping with them. And the Bible tells us that there was a gulf between Abraham's bosom and hell. And at times you could see over into hell. Remember he could see over into hell and see the rich man, huh, that was in hell. And maybe Lazarus saw that rich man. Maybe he saw the torments over there. I don't know. But what I do know is he had some stories that he was telling around that table. Amen? And Jesus was sitting at the head of the table, and he was just smiling because he knows. Amen? Because he's the Lord. And he was probably thinking, you know, in about 6 or 7 more days, I'm going to be down there preaching the word. Amen? And so that's the setting, as it were, around the dinner table here. And then in the next few verses, it kind of deals with Mary taking that ointment and anointing the Lord's feet and wiping them with her hair. And what a humbling thing that she would do there. That she would take that expensive ointment and anoint our Lord Jesus and wipe it with their very own hair. What a humbling. And Jesus did something very similar to that in another verse in the Bible where he girded himself and began to wash the disciples' feet. I tell you, our Lord, what an amazing book that we have. What an amazing God that we have. The humility that is displayed throughout the Bible if you just take the time to read it. Amen. I don't want to minimize that story of Mary, not for a minute. But I really want to kind of deal more with Lazarus. So I'm going to jump down to verse 9. You pick it up with me in verse 9. Notice what it says. It says, "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there." There in the house of Lazarus in Bethany. It says, "Much of the Jews knew that he was there." See, he couldn't get into Judea without being noticed. Yeah, no, too many people. He couldn't get in there. And he put his life in danger to be there. He really did. It says, "Much people of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came from Jerusalem, came to Bethany, came to the house of Lazarus." It says, "And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus." Amen. Also, and the Bible says, "whom he raised from the dead." They came to see Lazarus. You think about that and how God is doing such a big work in the life of Lazarus and his testimony and what he must have meant to his sisters and to the people there in and around Jerusalem, and that the Jews would come from the capital of Jerusalem down to Bethany, the small town, to see with their own eyes that it was true, that Lazarus was alive after he had spent 4 days in the grave. They wanted to believe. They had to see it for themselves. They were looking for hope, amen? And Lazarus, in the flesh, was going to give them the hope that they needed. Oh, if you think about that. If you think about the Passover, and you think about Moses, and you go back and you kind of deal with the Old Testament a little bit, from creation, really, all the way down to Moses, you've got about 26 generations. I guess it depends on who's counting, amen? But about 26 generations, you've got from Adam to Noah, you've got about 10 generations, and then from Noah to Abraham, you've got 10 generations, and then from Abraham to Moses, you've got 6 generations. So that's about 26 generations you've got to find there in the beginning of the book of Genesis. And the Bible says that Noah lived to be 950 years old. That's a pretty long life, isn't it? And he was 600 years old when the waters began to fall from the sky. And the Bible says that he lived 350 years after the flood. Noah, 350 years after the flood. A pretty long lifespan, amen? And if you think about that 10 generations from Adam to Noah, it covered 16, 17, 1800 years because the people lived such long lives, even though it was only 10 generations. But the next 10 generations from Noah to Abraham was much shorter lifespans. Abraham was born about 292 years after the flood. The Bible says that Noah lived 350 years after the flood. So they must have lived together here on earth for about 50 years of the last years of the life of Noah. Pretty interesting. The Bible never says that they had any contact or met, but can you imagine the stories that Noah must have had? He lived 600 years before the flood. Yeah. Somebody got cheated, though, because Noah lived 950 years, whereas Abraham only lived 175 years. Amen? See, that's the difference pre-flood and after-flood. But when you get to thinking about the Passover and all that meant to the Hebrew people, and all that it still means today, and Jesus would risk his life to come back into the area of Judea to be a part of that Passover. And it would be his last Passover before he goes to the cross of Calvary. And we know that it was a very special time for he and the disciples. And notice what it says here. It says that much people of the Jews knew that Jesus was there. And that they came not only for the sake of Jesus, not only because they wanted to see Jesus. It says, but that they might see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. Now, if you read your Bible, you'll find out that Jesus only raised three people from the dead in the New Testament. Lazarus is one of them, and then there's two more, and both of them are children, a boy and a girl. But so he didn't raise a lot of people from the dead. Now, Paul raised some from the dead, but Jesus only raised three in his ministry here on the earth. And we find out in verse 10, as it were, this is the reason that they wanted to kill him. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. And look at the reasoning, because. Now, Lazarus' life was in danger also. It says, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Can I say to you tonight that Lazarus had a testimony that was attractive? I mean, he was attracting people out of Jerusalem to Bethany to see him in the flesh, to believe. They were looking for hope. They wanted to have faith. I mean, he had a testimony. And I tell you, not too many people have a testimony that they spent 4 days in the grave and came out alive. Amen. Not too many people have that testimony. And we also find out that Lazarus had a testimony in the fact that he was just a good man. He had a good family. And Jesus loved he and his sisters. It says over in chapter 11, watch this. In verse 11, these things said he, that after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Notice the wording. It says, our friend Lazarus. You see, Lazarus wasn't only the friend of Jesus. See, he was also a very close friend to the disciples. You see, the disciples loved Lazarus and his family. And they were all sitting around that dinner table that evening. Amen. And they were fellowshipping and they were rejoicing that Lazarus had another chance at life. That he was still here with us. And by the way, he lived out a full life. He didn't die 2 or 3 weeks later. No, he lived out a full life. And can you imagine the testimony that he carried with him throughout that full life of what God had done in his life? Amen. He was a good man. Amen. And the Bible says that a good man obtaineth the favor of the Lord. Amen? Amen. He was a good man. And Jesus loved him. And the disciples loved him. Can I say to you tonight that every person here has a testimony. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You may not have the testimony that you came back out of the grave after 4 days, but you do have a testimony. Amen? Amen. And the plan of God, the will of God, is for you to use that testimony for God's glory. Amen. God wants you to use your testimony to attract others to yourself and ultimately to the Lord Jesus. Amen. A testimony can be used for good or it can be used for bad. I mean, somebody can have a good testimony or somebody can have a bad testimony. And can I say to you tonight, young people, be so careful with your testimony, because if you scar it, if you make yourself look bad, if you make your Lord look bad, man, hey, God will forgive you, but people will not forget. They will not forget. They'll always see you in that light of that mistake that you made. Amen? Be careful not to make too many mistakes. Guard your testimony and be careful with it. Amen? And Lazarus, though, he had a good testimony. Amen? He drawed people to himself, which was drawing people to the Lord Jesus. And so Lazarus had a testimony that was attractive. Can I say this also, that he had an event that was miraculous? Amen? Yeah. Lazarus had an event in his life that was miraculous. I mean, bless God, he came back from the grave. I mean, you remember when his sisters, Mary and Martha, had sent word to Jesus that Lazarus, he whom thou lovest, is sick, and he's at the point of death, Lord, huh? And the Bible says that Jesus stayed 2 more days in the place where he was at. He was on the other side of Jordan, in the area where John the Baptist first began to preach. He was a long ways from Bethany. He was way outside of Judea because the Jews all wanted to kill him in Judea. So he was way over there in the wilderness, as it were. Stayed two more full days before he would journey back into the area of Judea to Lazarus, to his funeral. He shows up and there's a funeral in process. And you know the story, how he tells Martha, take away the stone. If you think about what she says right there when he said that, she said, Lord, by this time he stinketh. That's what she said. She said, Lord, he stinketh. Boy, if I could park there for a little bit, amen. He stinketh because of corruption had set in. Corruption is a result of our sin. Yeah, your sin before God, it stinks. Yeah, I preached enough funerals down in Chile to know that death stinks. Yeah, they don't have all the fancy chemicals that they pump into people here to knock away, to keep away the smell of death. And death has a smell to it. And God said it stinks. That's what Martha told Jesus. She said, no, we can't do that, Lord. He said, take away the stone. Didn't I tell you, if only you'd believe that you'd see the glory of God? And they take away the stone and the Lord Jesus. And God had already heard his prayer. He calls Lazarus out of that tomb, which is just a cave, really, with a stone rolled in front of it. But he calls Lazarus out. The Bible says that the dead came out wrapped in grave clothes. He was all wrapped up. He must have been hopping up out of there, huh? Wrapped in grave clothes after 4 days being dead. Were the Jews astonished at that miracle? They were taken back. The Bible says at that very moment, many of the Jews believed on Jesus. I'd believe too, friend, after 4 days, amen? At that moment, many believed on Jesus, amen? But he definitely had an event. He had an event that was miraculous in his life, amen? And, you know, if you're here tonight and you're saved, you had an event that was miraculous in your life also, amen? Hey, the new birth, amen? It's just like being brought back from the dead, amen? How many people seemed like they was dead and going in a direction of life away from God and with no hope and no joy and no peace? The power of God came in, amen, and revived that person, amen, made them a new creature, amen, made them see things differently. Pastor Carter used to say, they seemed like the birds, they sang a little bit sweeter, amen. That's the truth of the new birth. I mean, it's something miraculous that takes place in our life, amen. And when that happens and you have the testimony, you have the power of God on your life, and oh, it feels so good. It feels so good. So I want to say to you that Lazarus, he did have a testimony that was attractive. He also had an event that was very miraculous in his life. And thirdly, I want to say to you this, that he had a story worth telling. Amen. Did Lazarus not have a story worth telling? Yeah, he did. Amen. I'd sure like to hear it. Amen. He had a story worth telling of how they laid him down in a tomb for 4 days and four nights. Amen. Yeah. Maybe how he went down to the heart of the earth. And he wasn't sure if he was ever coming out. Huh? Yeah. But by the power of Jesus, amen, he came up out that tomb 4 days later and sat at the dinner table with Jesus, amen, and told his story. I can just about imagine that Lazarus spent the rest of his life telling the story about what Jesus had done for him. You know, you've got a story to tell as well. You sure do. You know, you don't necessarily have to go and tell people all the bad stuff that you did, huh? No, because the story that you have to tell is not about you. It's not your story. It's his story, amen? Just tell them what Jesus did, amen? You know that we're in Santiago, Chile. We 17-year missionaries. 11 years in the capital of Santiago. 11 and a half years. You know why we're down there? Because the food's good. No. Because we love the climate? No, it's freezing cold down there. Because the people are just so nice, and they are sometimes. No, we're down there to tell them the story of Jesus. Amen. Give them an opportunity to believe. Man, I'm so thankful. I remember the day that when I believed. I remember when I heard the gospel very clear for the first time, and it came into my mind, and it affected my heart. Amen. You never get over something like that. Amen. When something miraculous like that happens in your life, you never quite get over it. And you do want to spend the rest of your life telling others about it. I just about imagine that's what happened to Lazarus. That he spent the rest of his life telling others what happened to him. Now notice what it says here in verse 11. It says in verse 11 that they, well, first of all, in verse 10 it says they wanted to kill Jesus or Lazarus. They wanted to put him to death, the same as Jesus. They wanted him out of the picture. And it says in verse 11, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Oh, by reason of him, many of the Jews believed on Jesus. Because he had a testimony that was attractive, yeah. Because he had an event that was miraculous, yeah. Because he had a story worth telling, yeah. Many of the Jews believed on Jesus. Hey, wouldn't it be great if it was said about you and I that many believed on Jesus because of us? Because of what we did, because of our testimony, because of a miraculous event that happened to us, because we had a story that was worth telling. Amen. Wouldn't it be great if many believed on Jesus because of us? Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but I would just want to be a servant. Amen. And the Bible says something about that in the very same chapter. And these verses, they've meant so much to me. I read them the other night, Martin and I. We prayed, we cried, we asked God to use us. Look at these verses here in chapter 12 and verse 26. I'll just read the one verse, verse 26. Jesus said this. And anytime Jesus is speaking, it's best to listen up. This is what he said. He said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And then he says this, watch this. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Amen. Think about that. You want to receive honor from the Father? You get it by serving the Son. Amen. Amen. Isn't that awesome? That God honors us when we serve His Son. I just want to be a servant. Amen. I think that Mary, when she anointed the feet of Jesus with that costly oil, I think she just wanted to be a servant. Amen. Yeah. I think when Martha prepared that supper, she just wanted to be a servant. Amen. Amen. I just want to be a servant. Amen. Chile is a long ways off. And they really are a good people. But they're a lost people. They don't have many times the same principles that you have here in the States. They don't have the same teaching. They don't have the same colleges and Bible colleges and churches and good Christian schools. No, they don't have all that down there. Chile's a very difficult area to live and serve. And I've struggled and I've fought with God many a nights. Huh? And for a couple of years there, to be honest with you, I wasn't sure if God wanted me to stay in Chile. The work was so difficult. The people were so hard-headed. And Lord, I just feel like I could be doing something bigger and better for you. Coming through COVID, coming through Marta's sickness. Oh, God has nailed that down in our heart. Yeah, He wants me down there. Taught me a second language at 40 years old. Moses on the backside of the desert taught me a second language. Huh? I just want to be a servant. I just want to serve. I don't know how many more years we have left before Jesus comes. But He's coming. Amen? But He's coming. Amen? Don't lose hope. Amen? Don't fall back. Jesus says, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. You know, that really you can follow Jesus and not be the servant that God wants you to be. But you can still be a follower of Jesus. Amen? It's like being a servant is a whole nother level. It's like it's doing more. It's like it's dedicating your life in a bigger and more powerful way. Being a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, I know that God has so much work to be done. And people around Landmark has made statements to me and that God needs you and God is using you. And I don't know that He needs me. I need Him. I need Him. Amen? I need His power on my life. I can't reach those people if He doesn't do the work. We serve an awesome God. Amen. And Him bringing Lazarus back to life was just a small display of His power. Preacher taught this morning in the adult Sunday school class in that last chapter of Revelation. Man, deep, deep stuff. I love that book. I just taught a whole series on chapter 22 there in the book of Revelation. It's just a powerful book, amen? God wants to use you and I as servants.
Amen.
I want to put this out to you tonight. I just ask that you'd really search your heart. Don't just be a follower of Jesus, but be a servant.
Amen.
Serve Him. There's not much time left.
Right.
Believe me when I tell you this. There's not much time left. Jesus is about to come back. And the world is going to be so in shock when it happens. When that sky splits open and He calls His church home. Preacher said this morning, prepare to meet thy God. You know, I've been thinking about that thought all day today.
Amen.
Prepare. Be prepared to meet your God. You know, you're never going to be prepared to meet God if you're not serving Him. Yeah. Dedicate your life to the Lord, and He will dedicate so much to you. Marta says to me, it seems like the Lord just always meets our needs. The Lord always helps us and blesses us. Yeah, it's because we serve Him. God is looking for people that will serve Him, that will go the extra mile, that will give more, that will stay longer. That will spend more time, that will devote their life to reading and understanding the Bible so that they can help someone else. You know, you can't help someone else if you don't know anything. You've got to know this. You've got to get this in your mind and get it in your heart in order to teach it and preach it and help others.
Amen.
Spend quality time every day in the Word of God.
Amen.
God will help you. He will allow you to surrender your life. Truly surrender your life for a cause that's greater than yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a cause that's greater than us.
Yeah.
It's greater than this church. It's greater than your family and it's greater than your kids. There's a cause that's greater than us. Get a hold of that.
Amen.
Get a hold of that. Serve God.
Amen.
And He will do things in your life. You can't even imagine what a powerful God like Jesus, amen, can do for you. It was said about Lazarus that by reason of him, many Jews believed on Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if it was said about you that many believed on Jesus because of you, of your service, of your sacrifice, of your giving, of your loyalty, of your faith, your testimony, that many believed on Jesus because of you. That kind of person deserves a crown, that we can cast at the feet of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know, it's enough that we get to spend all of eternity with Him. Amen? That He has a home prepared for us. That there is a heaven. Amen. There's life after this life here on earth. There's more. There's much more. The end of this physical life. It's not the end, friend. It's not the end. Preacher said this morning, it's the beginning. Oh, I'm excited about that. Amen. The time that we have left. Doesn't matter if it's 1 month, 1 year, or 100 years. And I don't believe it's 100 years. However much time we have left, use those years in your life to serve Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You won't go wrong. Amen? And we'll all go to heaven together one day. Amen?
Amen.
That trumpet will sound and we'll be out of here.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to that. I'd rather go with the undertaker than the undertaker. Amen? I'd rather do that. I'd rather go out with my sweetie right beside me. I'd rather do that. Amen? And just maybe, we might have that opportunity to go together. Because we are so close so close to wrapping things up on planet Earth.
Amen?
Be very, very involved in serving Jesus Christ for the last years that you have left. You won't go wrong. Amen? Let's pray. Stand our feet. Amen? Stand your feet if you would. I'd like to give an invitation. I'd like to say to you, if there's someone here tonight that has not trusted Christ as their Savior, it's a really good day to get saved. Amen? It's a really good day to get saved. Amen? Just come down an old-fashioned altar, take the preacher by the hand, and say, I want to trust Jesus. I want to serve Jesus. I want to follow Him. Hey, if you're here tonight and you say, Lord, make me a servant, it might be a good opportunity to come down the altar, amen, and let Jesus work in your heart, because there's not a lot of time left. Come to Jesus. I'm going to pray. Brother Burke is going to sing, and the church is going to respond. Amen. God in heaven, thank you for your love and mercy. And thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of Lazarus, that he rose again from the dead. Thank you, Lord God, that you have plans, big plans for us as well. I pray, Father, for the church tonight, that you'd speak to every heart as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender.
Would you bow your head with me tonight as the music continues to play? If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, Brother Mullins said today would be a great day for you to get saved. And it's so true. This invitation is for you to step out and come down, and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Maybe you're here and you've been attending for a while, you're saved, and you know you're on your way to heaven, but you need to join this church. You know this is the place God wants you to be. Maybe you need to just join by transferring a letter. Maybe you need to join by getting baptized in obedience to the Lord's command. Whatever it is that God wants you to do, why don't you step out and come tonight and do what God asks you to do, as Brother Burt sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. To Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know Thy power divine. I surrender.
You may be seated. We have something to share with you tonight.